You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. During the last 30 years, climate change has impacted rangelands in the West, including right here in Idaho. Well, now some top scientists and land managers say restoring our state's rangelands could help combat climate change. Rocky Barker, a special correspondent for the Idaho Statesman, recently wrote about this issue, and he's joining us live today to talk more. Hi, Rocky.
Hi, Gemma.
So, Rocky, can you start by talking to us about this pretty large virtual meeting that took place last month discussing this topic?
Well, it was very interesting. It was co-sponsored by the Public Lands Foundation and the Andrews Center for Public Policy. And basically, they were trying to address how is it that the all these rangelands we have, millions of acres of public lands across the country, how can they affect climate change? Obviously, both negatively and positively. And negatively, of course, one of the ways that if you look at it from just the most extreme, since fossil fuels are the problem that are the major driver of climate change, well, a whole lot of fossil fuels are produced on public lands. But, you know, we're not going to stop that overnight. But certainly that's one of the issues. But the other thing is there are all of these natural processes that are going on. And so many of them have been triggered by the invasive species that we've allowed to take over these traditionally sagebrush dominated ecosystems, primarily cheatgrass. And what happens, of course, is that cheatgrass, once it expands, it kind of takes over the fire regime so that you have this longer term frequency of fires that now happens much faster. And when you get a fire across the sagebrush area that is filled with the grass, it is, they're giant fires. And we've seen them repeatedly.
And in fact, Rocky, in that meeting, and you wrote about this in your article for the Statesman, is that the deputy director of the BLM said restoration really is the key. He went on to say, you just can't keep fighting fires. So talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is the guy who's in charge of the Interagency Fire Center here in Boise, and essentially manages fire management across the West and across the country for that matter. And he's saying that, you know, if we just fighting fires is in the long term a big, you know, it doesn't solve anybody's problem. It just we're catching up with a problem that we've created, and we need to create our way out of it. And what he's arguing is that we need what he calls a moonshot effort to address restoration of these lands, to essentially get control of all of these invasive species like cheatgrass and rush skeleton weed, and get a ecosystem that is actually reducing or sequestering carbon, reducing climate change. But he's saying it's not just a matter of spending all this money on the restoration science that we know today. He believes we need to do a massive new research program to try to find new efficient ways to do this restoration.
Mm-hmm. And Rocky, I mean, I think it's fair to say that climate change has done a number on rangelands. I mean, you've already talked about invasive species like cheatgrass and how common that's becoming. But also what was brought up in this meeting, and you wrote about this, is how habitats are being impacted, in particular for native birds and animals. You know, can you talk a little bit more about that? Because in the piece, you also talk about some animals have been able to adapt, but some haven't been able to and probably can't.
That's right. You know, we're all sitting here, you know, struggling as humans, how are we going to control this and how are we going to adapt to climate change? these, you know, the animals who live in all of these ecosystems didn't have that choice. They have been forced over the last 40 years to adapt to the changes, like the earlier runoff, the drier winters, the droughts in general. And there was a scientist from Berkeley, Berenger, I think his name was, who was basically saying that what they've, their research shows that some species like nighttime mammals are doing far better because they're not out in the, you know, in the drought and the heat and the sunlight. Mm-hmm. Others, you know, are having a hard time. A lot of birds, you know, their migration patterns are tied to, you know, what's going on in these areas that they migrate to. And those are changing. And some of those birds are able to change their migration patterns to do that. Others aren't. And what he was trying to suggest for us as we're dealing with this to try to handle the changes in the habitat is we really have to make a decision as managers. Do we want to go in there and actually change the systems ourselves for the animals? Do we want to just let the change happen because there's nothing we can do about it? Or is there a possibility that the change is going to be positive? And what he's basically saying is, and I think it goes beyond the rangeland and the habitat. It really is a matter of all of us need to figure out how are we going to manage change? Because this climate change is happening and going to continue to happen. And we need to address that ourselves. How are we going to address these changes so that we can adapt to them ourselves?
And, you know, Rocky, some experts in this meeting also are saying that really the key to this is restoring the native ecosystems. So how do they say we should go about doing that?
Well, you know, some of this, there are places that we can restore this. Right now, for instance, the last decade I covered efforts to restore the sagebrush steppe after fires and grazing and other things have changed it. The thing about it is doing that takes like 50 years, really. And it's expensive, it's hard, and so trying to find a way to do that is the kind of the holy grail of all this. However, mm-hmm. that's only really one of our ways of dealing with this. Is one of the things I've been kind of hitting on a lot lately in my reporting on this stuff is all of us, and this includes environmentalists, this includes ranchers, this includes the oil guys, every one of us is looking in the rearview mirror at how do we solve climate change? Let's go back to how this, whatever perfect place there was in the past for whatever interest we're pushing. We've got to understand when we look 50 and 100 years out, it's going to be very, very different. And our choices are going to continue to go down as long as we aren't taking action now to deal with this. But for instance, let's go in our forests. You know, if it's the environmental community and the timber community have reached a fairly good consensus on how we should thin the forest and protect our communities and things like this. But there is no consensus out there about maybe we ought to cut a whole lot of this forest that we know is going to burn. Maybe we need to cut a lot of it down so that we don't add to the carbon load. And that's not something that, and the timber industry guys don't even suggest we ought to do it for them because they know that that would not be popular. So but it may end up being one of the ways that we address that in the short term, all the carbon loading we're doing in the atmosphere.
So, Rocky, now we have this infrastructure bill, this federal infrastructure bill. And how in the world then does that play into this? Because in this meeting that you covered a month ago, You know, they said we actually now have money available.
That's right. There is now a lot of money. Hundreds of millions of dollars were approved for doing this kind of adaptation and work on public lands, both in rangelands and around communities, in the forest. You know, there is going to be this great opportunity to do a whole lot of work on our public lands to address this. And of course, all this work is going to do, if we do it right, we're going to help limit the, we're going to help us to be able to adapt to the climate change, help the wildlife adapt, help the ecosystem, and help do a restoration at least a beginning level. But it also is going to put a whole lot of people in the West to work.
So then, Rocky, with all of this information now, what are the, not just scientists, but I mean the BLM, land managers, what do they want to see happen next?
I think what they'd like to do now is, you know, for the last 4 years, they could not even talk about climate change. It was just, it was like they were doing their jobs with handcuffs and earmuffs, and it really made it hard. Now they want to look forward to doing what they know they've got to do. And they want to find partnerships with the states, with private industry. They are looking for a way to build consensus and to work on restoration instead of just simply fighting fires.
Well, Rocky, as always, I appreciate your reporting and your analysis on this. If you'd like to read more of Rocky Barker's articles, just head to the Idaho Statesman. Rocky, thanks so much.
Thank you, Gemma.
More Idaho Matters next.